Anyone else? All right, well, let's sing our Old Testament books of the Bible. We're working our way through those. We'll show the hates how well you all know it, all right? If you need to, look at the front pages of your Bible. They got the index there. It doesn't give you the rhythm and all that, but we've been working on these for a couple weeks. Once again, the point is just to be familiar with your Bible, to know the books of the Bible. We are responsible to be stewards of God's words. You can memorize it as a list. You can memorize it in chunks. I just like music. It helps it stick in my head. So that's why we're doing it this way. But what's important is that you know and you're familiar with the Word of God, all right? So let's sing it out this morning. Genesis, Exodus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st Kings, 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and the last book, Malachi. Fantastic. It's nice. You guys are really getting it. I'm surprised. I mean, no, I'm happy to see that. All right, let's sing it again one more time. Here we go. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st Kings, 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah. Fantastic. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and the last book, Malachi. Awesome. Well done. Next week we'll do the New Testament, and then the last week we'll do them both together. See what happens. Thank you, Mrs. Huber. Great job with that. I'm glad you're all participating too. Some people might, I'm singing, oh, it's kind of a kidsy song, you know, and I understand that. But I'm glad you're all singing along. It's, well, like I said before, it's important that we just know the Word of God. However you like to memorize it or know it is fine, but just make sure you know it. All right, that's what's important, that we know the books of the Bible, we know God's Word. All right, let's go into your booklet. Does anyone need one? I have a few extras. We started it last week. Anyone need a booklet? Okay, a couple of hands. Hates. There you go. Thank you. Would you two mind kind of sharing? I can pass one over there. Okay. There you go. All right, we started last week. Remember, we're doing some doctrines of the Bible. I do not. Only the one I'm teaching out of. Did you have to start the wood stove this week? Oh, good.
No, I don't.
Oh, no.
Yes, I do.
Oh, good. All right. We're going through some doctrines of the Bible. We're not doing them in order. This series that's put out has been a good help. It's a good guide going through. You can see the big list on the back. We've only, I think this is only the fourth one we've done. If I count right, we did the prayer, the Holy Spirit, financial stewardship, and now we're doing practical Christian living. The last one we're going to do is the judgment seat of Christ. And I thought those kind of built on each other. Prayer and the Holy Spirit are directly tied, and the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit is our guide in both the study and understanding of the Word of God, and works as an intercessor to guide us in our prayer life. So those three are tied together. And then our practical Christian living will have an effect at the judgment seat of Christ. Of how we live and how we serve the Lord during our lives is directly reflected in that. So this second part here, you know, we are on page number 4. We got to page number 4. The question, the booklet starts off with the question, if after I'm saved, should that change the way that I live? And the clear answer to that is yes, there should be a difference in the way that you live once you're a Christian. Because before you're a Christian, you might have been a moral person at the best of your abilities. It does, just because you were lost doesn't mean like you're out robbing banks every day and you're just a horrible. I have some relatives that are just, they're in the world's eyes, they are good people. You know, they're hardworking, they love their kids, it's not like as soon as you walk out the doors of the church, everyone's trying to murder you and rob you. That's not how it is. But when we talk about the world, it's not talking about individual people that you might know in your life. It's a system that the devil has built up, that he is in control of, that is focused on living against God's principles. So a Christian, the life now that we lead, should be focused on pleasing God. And before being a Christian, although you might have followed some moral standards, you did not have the ability to please God, because the best that we do as a lost person, when it's compared to the holiness of God, it doesn't have any value because it's all corrupted by a sinful nature. So as a Christian, you now have the ability to please a holy God. And that's an awesome thing to think about. That the way I live, the words that I speak, the way that I act can have God look at me with a smile on his face and be pleased with what I do. And it can matter in eternity. So should our lives change? Yes, our lives should change. We are not earning more salvation. We are not earning more grace and favor. Our salvation is done. We have been saved. All right? We've got the mercy and the grace of God already in our lives. We have the Holy Spirit in our lives. But now we have the ability to please God because he is worthy of it. Because we have a desire to please him as a servant to his master. Although, as Brother Frank pointed out, it's not servitude with a whip and chains. It's servitude because he is our brother. It's our friend, and as Christ is. And now we have the ability to just, I want to please God. I enjoy pleasing God. One of the principles pastor is talking about in the other class with parenthood is when you lose the heart of your child, you lose so much. Because then they obey by force or by fear or by punishment, by coercion. But when a child loves their parents, they just have a desire to please them. Like, I want to because I love you. And that should be us as a Christian. Yes, the fear of God is real. The chastisement of God is real. I like to think of an example of imagining this aisle as a road. And that we serve God because of our love for him. That's our motivation to go down the road. But there's guardrails on the sides. And that would be the fear of the Lord and the chastisement of the Lord to keep us on the path. But it's not why we serve the Lord. It's our guide to keep us on the right road to please him. So we should have a change. Once my sins are forgiven, why can't I do what I want to do? We talked about that last week. There is grace. Yes, sins are forgiven, but it's not a license or a permission to sin. And our sin both affects our ability to please God, and our sin has practical consequences in your daily life. Sinful behavior destroys. Sin always destroys. And a sinner, one who continues to live in sin and let it have control over their body, will have a destroyed life. It'll be corrupted. It'll be torn down. It destroys relationships. We went through that last week. Sin destroys everything that it touches. And then the third part of that is it affects other people around you. Sinful choices in your life are not just about you, not just I can handle it, but our choices affect those around us, and that includes our decision to please God or to live against God. So now we get to the point that we're on today. Now that I'm a Christian, are there activities and relationships that I should avoid? What is the answer to that question? Yes, there are. This study here is to help set some guidelines for you to make thousands of decisions in your life that are not listed explicitly in the Bible. There's not a thou shalt not and thou shalt for many of the things that you're going to face. Whether what your entertainment choices are, what your music choices are, who your friends are, what activities you participate in. There's not a list in the Bible that says all the people in your life who would be great friends and help you serve the Lord, and the ones in your life that are going to lead you away from the Lord, or that you might. We always think other people are the cause, but sometimes we're the source of the sin in a relationship. But to think that that might destroy. Or here's a list of godly approved movies, and here's the ones that aren't. And you got to check the list before, or the songs that please God, and the music genres that please God, and the ones that don't. What we do is we look to Scripture for the principles that guide us in making those individual decisions. Because Janae is going to meet different people and be influenced by different things than Brother Sutliff is. Very different lives going on. So the Scripture is written to teach all of us and all cultures and all parts of the world what it takes to please God, what God is looking for out of us. And there's a short list here. It's really point number 3 in this part that guides us through some of that. But let's go through here. Number 1, the answer is yes. Yes, since we will give an account of our lives at the judgment seat of Christ, we should inspect all areas of our lives to see if they please God and if God is pleased with them. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Part of the verses is written there. Did anyone have a chance to work on one of their memory verses? All right. Remember to be working on them. There's the list of 4 in the back there. Take a minute to maybe pick one each day and read it for this upcoming week. Just if you read through the 4, there might be one that you already know, and just reinforce that one in your mind, and then find one that you don't know, and work on it as we hide God's word in our hearts. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16. It's a verse we use a lot because it tells us what Scripture is for us. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We talked about that way back in the beginning of the class. What does the inspiration mean when we're talking about Scripture? What is that inspiration of God? What does that look like when we talk about the Word of God? That God spoke to man through the Holy Spirit, and man wrote down what they received from God. Something that is inspired in this sense, and we're talking about Scripture here, you can say, I had a moment of inspiration. We use the word in a different way, but when we talk about the Scripture, we're talking about that it came from God. It is divine in nature, and that is all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. If something is called Scripture, it has to be inspired. Scripture means that it comes from God and not just a story or a book. To be Scripture, it must be from God. Let's go on. That's not the point of the verse that we're looking at this morning. I keep looking at the Spanish side of my Bible. I got the bilingual Bible here, and I keep looking at the Spanish column. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. For what end? That's verse number 17. What should we be striving for as Christians? Verse number 17. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God is looking for, and the expectation on us is to continually move forward in our desire to please God and our holiness before God. God wants to look down at us and see a Christian who is dedicated to Him that is perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God has a desire to use us and to see us please Him. And the better you are prepared to please the Lord, the more He can use you. And I keep thinking Spanish. I'm sorry, my mind is on my Spanish message. I'm thinking he's útil. He's useful in the service of the Lord. And I just want to be a vessel that God can use. And the more that we give our lives to Him, the more that we dedicate our passions and our loves and our thoughts and our actions to God. Remember those verses that Christ quoted, the 2 commandments, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Then there's mind and might. But that's from the Old Testament too. That's in Deuteronomy as well. That's not just that's what God wanted to see for mankind. People that loved Him with all that they are. And when we choose to sin, we're choosing to do something God hates. At the same moment that we say, I love you. I'll use my wife as an example. She loves cooking. Most of the time she loves cooking. Sometimes it's a chore. But she loves doing that, being that having that role in the family, and that's way of providing and feeling that satisfaction of taking care of the household. And she likes doing that. And I'll come home, and she will have worked hard. You can tell she's still running around the kitchen, and there's dishes everywhere, and she's trying to clean up, and the food's just simmering in the frying pan, just about done, and I walk in, and, what did you make? What is that? Because I smell like cauliflower or something, and it's like, and she's like, oh, I made this, and you can see, I'm like, oh, I know she wants me to say that I love it, But if I say that I love it, then she'll cook it more. And I don't love it, and I don't want it again. Because you know I don't like that stuff. But in her heart, she's like, I want to provide, I want to please. But you're not going to make me happy with a meal full of cauliflower. I'm not going to say, wow, what a, so, oh, I lo- this is so amazing. I love you so much. Thank you so much. But we think, I have liberty. I can do what I want. I can live how I want. It's not a big deal. It's all forgiven. All those standards, that's just legalism in the Word of God. That's just, who are you to tell me? And my dress is my thing, and my music is my thing. You don't know my heart, and all the list of reasons we can come up with, some of which, yeah, they should be looked at in detail. I can't just say you throw everything out, but there is Christian liberty. But the heart behind all of that shouldn't be, I want. The heart behind all that should be, what does God want? And that should be our life as a Christian. Not to do what we want and expect God to be pleased with it. Here's what I can give God. You're welcome. When it's, for me, like the cauliflower. And it's just, it's sinful. God's not going to be pleased with that. God wants us to make our decisions with righteousness in mind. Are there relationships that I should avoid? Number two, yes. Because biblical separation is commanded and commended by God. I'll ask Brother Lauk, would you go over to Romans chapter number 12? And the rest of us, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. We'll look at these verses this morning. Biblical separation is a doctrine. The fact that Christians should live apart and different from the world that's around them. That there is a worldly system that doesn't please God. There are a lifestyle of sinners that doesn't please God. And if we live exactly like those around us, how can we say that we please God when we know God is not pleased with what they do? Does that make sense? Now your wisdom, your prayer, your time in your Bible, your walk with God will help you define those lines. What I fear many of us do, though, is just pick what we like. That's what I like. That's the music I like. That's the dress I like. That's the people I like. That's the entertainment that I like. And I have liberty to do what I like. And then we say, I'm fine with it, and God's fine with it. When we have really spent no time in prayer over it, we haven't brought it to the scriptures. We'd make the decision and then retroactively look back and say God's okay with it, instead of going to God first, then making the decision. And it's a challenge, because our decisions things are constantly put in your vision. If you have your phone out, you're looking at Instagram or YouTube, and it's just scroll, scroll, scroll. Especially now, more and more is the shorts and little clips. It used to be 10 minutes as YouTube was kind of the mark to fit in two sets of ads, and that's where people wanted their videos. But now people need 30 seconds, a minute, and they're ready to scroll to the next thing. Every time that wheel goes up and there's a new thing put in front of your eyes, you're making another decision, and another decision, and another decision, and another decision. And young people, it's not, I went to the video store and I had to rent something or buy something, and then we put it in, we bring it home, our VHS players, you know, and you have to decide. And there's a whole process there that leads up to the moment of what I'm about to watch. Now just open, bloop, scroll, 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 scroll. By the time you've decided, in the olden days, my life too, we should maybe watch a movie tonight. A young person today has already seen 25 videos. And it's constant, and it's constant, and it's constant. And there's a lot of decisions that need to be made. And for young people, and we can't fall into this trap ourselves, there are some young people mixed in. Janae? But as the world changes around us, so must our wisdom about how we walk, the Bible says, circumspectly in this world. And to just let things happen around us, or as we teach young people, as we teach our kids and grandkids, as we are an example, you have to set up these standards beforehand. You have to put up roadblocks beforehand, because you don't realize how much stuff already passes by the time you get that moment of conviction, maybe in the Word of God or at teen camp or here at church, to think about it, and how many thousands of videos have already been seen before the choice is made of how I want to please God, how I want to live. As we look at these verses, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, I'll ask Mr. Locke, would you read Romans 12, 2 first as we listen?
And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
There's an important word in that, and it's conformed. Conformed. The fact that you will be shaped into and follow and listen to. And that's the job of the worldly system that's around us, is to conform you. I was just telling my kids, we were talking about tools on the way here this morning. I don't know how it came up, but you know, all the tool brands now have colors. You know, what color's DeWalt?
Yellow.
It's not working on him. Yeah. Oh, you worked in the pawn shop. You saw all this stuff. Milwaukee's are red. Ryobi's are that lime green. That's what I have. And Craftsman is more like a dark red with black. And Makita is like a greenish blue, like a teal almost. And there's all these, and they all have a brand. Why? As you look through the store, your eyes can identify just based on the color of the tool. When there's contractors coming to your house, you'll see what's on the side of the road. I already know it. The shape of the Coca-Cola bottle is patented. Just the shape of it. And I just saw there's a bunch of ads, speaking of YouTube, that come through. It's about Heinz. Anyone see these? If you scroll and stuff. It's like, we asked this many people to draw ketchup. And then it's all the Heinz bottle that they drew. That's what ketchup is to people. And you don't even realize that stuff has happened. I'm telling the kids, you will probably buy tools based on the color of the tools I have, and you didn't even think about the tool. You just, in your mind now, without thinking about it, you think, tools, green, because I have Ryobi. And that your brain just does that, and you don't even know that's going on. You know how many billions and billions of dollars are invested in advertising? To make you think you're making the decision about what you want, when in reality, and not even knowing that, no, you've been conformed into thinking that way. You've been steered right to that point. And we think that I got it because I wanted it. And you would be surprised if there was, how much of the stuff at our house probably wouldn't be there if there was no advertising. That's a scary thought. There's probably a lot of stuff, even the way we decorate our house. We were walking through Lowe's, Home Depot, with my wife and I, it was the home store. We got a gift card to Texas Roadhouse. Delicious place. And of course, 45-minute wait. So we go into the home store that's right there, and we're just wandering around, wasting time, waiting for our table to come up. And just seasons, there's the summer, spring stuff is out. The winter stuff is 50% off. The fall stuff is in this corner at 75% off. You know what's going to happen in a couple months? The fall stuff is going to be full price, and this cycle keeps continuing, and the stuff changes. And we got to talking. We used to watch a lot of like HGTV, and now, no, you don't do granite countertops. That's out. And then the farm look, the farmhouse. That shows that your house is dated. And the upscale appliances, no, they're too expensive for people. You got to get nice ones, but don't go too crazy. And the standards of what is in fashion keep changing and changing and changing and changing. And then you look at it and think, oh, that's nice. I want that in my house. You don't realize you've been steered into thinking that's nice. Why do our clothes change? What happened to bell bottoms? Well, now they're kind of back. You walk, walking through the mall, you see them and stuff. They're coming back. I look at old pictures, and our ties are just a different shape. Used to have the really tiny knot in the 90s, and it got a little bigger. And then in the 70s, it was a huge knot. Why did it change? When did you decide that what I wore 10 years ago, I no longer like today? Did you make that conscious decision one day? No, we are all being steered and guided. We need to walk circumspectly. It affects our decision for God just as much as it affects our decision about our house decorations and our clothes. We are being steered, and we have to be mindful of what does the Scripture say, because the Word of God is the thing that doesn't change. And it always needs to be the foundation of the decisions that we make in our life. Some things are fine to change because it doesn't cross into sin or disobeying God. And some things you think, oh, that's just the way it is. Wait a minute. That crossed the line. And now I can no longer participate in that activity because of what the Word of God says about it. There's a conforming that is constantly happening. And our job is to resist the conforming to the world and instead towards God. 2 Corinthians 6, let's look at these verses as I stop preaching and we get back into the study this morning. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18, let's read through them. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as, am I reading the right place? Yes, same. I'm reading verse 13 when I don't need to. Let's 14. But be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You can see the differences that Paul is building here in his argument, that there are diametrically opposites. And there's nothing more opposite than God and Satan, between sin and holiness. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. There's a lot in those verses, but the principle of separation is clear. There are holy things and there are unholy things. And we are fooling ourselves and falling into the trap of this world and of the devil when we just think a lot of this just doesn't matter. 95% of my life is just that gray zone where it can go either way. No, there are some things in that zone. There are some things that God might speak to you about that he wants in your life as a way to please him that he might not ask of me. But we just can't just, it's kind of everything's in there. And I'll figure it out someday. And we need to be diligent before God now. As every responsible parent is concerned with activities and associations of their child or their children, God is equally concerned with his children in his behavior and friendships. We challenge young people all the time. Do you have friends that lead you closer to God or further from God? Do you have coworkers that when you talk to, you are closer to God or further than God? Do you have family members that, man, every time I'm around them, I just leave angry, I leave frustrated, I leave upset. Some of that is a work in yourself that needs to happen, but some of that is that influence. If you can minimize and cut out some of that, then it helps you walk with God better. So we have to be mindful of these things. On to the next point. You can determine proper activities and relationships by using biblical principles. This is a important list. I had one that I like that has 7 different things on it. This one only has 6, but they guide us in our decisions. Colossians 3:17, let's turn there. This is that guidelines that will help us make decisions. The first one, will it bother my conscience? Will it bother my conscience? Acts 24:16 says, and herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. God has given all men a conscience. There are basic principles that men are born with, that cultures without scripture, they have rules against murder and theft, and because there's a conscience within us that guides us. Now, we are also gifted with the Holy Ghost. Colossians 3:17, Brother Sutliff, are you there? Would you read that for us?
Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Amen. So we're talking here things that aren't clear in Scripture, like 100% there's a rule. One of the guiders that you have is the Holy Spirit and is your conscience, and they are two different things. How to explain and identify, I'm not great at, but you see that they have different jobs, that all men have a conscience that can be seared and can be destroyed almost in a way that they no longer feel what God has naturally put in man. It's destroyed by sin. But then we also have the Holy Ghost, which is to lead us. It's part of God within us that is not leaving, and that is constantly to be our guide if we heed it. Now, you might just say, that didn't feel right. We've had a couple movies come on the TV. The kids are watching. My wife's just like, I don't like that. There's something about it I don't like. What is it? I don't like it. I'm like, okay, that's good enough. If it's offending your conscience, out of the thousands and thousands of shows on TV right now, we don't have to watch that one. We can easily find something else. Why have a battle on it if it's going to offend your conscience? You want to stand before God just knowing, I did what I felt was best. Now, Word of God is our main foundation. Don't let your conscience be your main guide. because it can be seared, it can be led astray, it can be deceived. But it is something that God has given us. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, let's keep going through these. B says, would I be embarrassed if Jesus were to return while I was doing this? That's a good question. Are my actions something that I would be embarrassed if, you could put anyway, if my mom and dad saw me, if my neighbor saw me, if my husband or wife saw me, if my kids saw me, if God saw me? Well, then what about that would make you embarrassed? If it's just because it's something private, I understand that. We're not talking about stuff like that. We're talking about actions and decisions and words. I gave this testimony before. I was exercising. I know that must have been a long time ago. I was exercising and watching some TV, and the door opened, and I thought, is this my, if my kids walk in, I don't want them to hear this. And I thought, wait, why would I, if it was my kids, I didn't want them to see what was on the screen? Because it's more of an adult humor. And that was the last time I watched that show. Because the Holy Spirit really hit my heart that day. Oh, I can handle this okay for me, but I don't want my kids hearing that kind of joke or that kind of language. Then it's not right for me either. So I'm going to remove that. And I haven't gone back to it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Jason, would you read that for me? Are you there? Well, we're going to start next week talking about this day when we will stand before God. There's that moment of Christ's return, and that's kind of that ultimate end point. Pastor Kovchesky used to, I don't know where he got it from, joke about somebody smoking, and they take a big inhale of a cigarette, and then the rapture happens, and then they're in heaven with not wanting to let it out. You know, but what about what we do? Not even just the instant of the Lord's return, but we know that God is with us at all times. What do I do that? I hope God didn't see that. I wouldn't want anybody to know I did that. Walk up to someone and turn the phone, put the phone down real quick. Well, what's on there that you're... Could I read your text messages? Not as in it's not your business, but if your dad or mom or anybody, your wife or husband, is there something in there? You'd be like, I don't know if I want internet history, video history. If it brings shame and you think, oh boy, then you know there's something in there that's offending your conscience and the Holy Ghost, and you should address it. Letter C. Am I being brought under the power of something that should not be controlling my life? 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Our life should be subject to Christ and Christ alone. Nothing else should have control of our lives. Now, letter D, does it build up and help others? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Our lives are about service. Service to God and service to others. That is a principle that Christ modeled. He clearly taught is about serving others. And when we make a decision because I want what I like and it's fine for me, but then I know it might hurt someone else, well, am I willing to give it up to help that person? Or am I going to think selfishly? Like, well, it's fine for me. It's lawful for me. It doesn't hurt me. But could I help someone else by not doing it, by not dressing that way, by not talking that way, by not playing that music, by not having what pop culture references I'm going to bring up in front of others? I got to be mindful of others around me. What did I send you? 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 23. Who's there? Jay, did I ask you to read already? All right, Jay, would you read that one for me?
All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not.
All right. All things edify not. Oh, it's lawful. You can do it. But does it help? Does it build up? Does it strengthen? Consider those things in your life. E, if another Christian saw me do this, these two are tied together, would it hurt them? Would it hurt them? Let's go to Romans. We'll look at both of these, Romans 14 and Romans 15. I know this study is It's more like a message because it can be convicting. It's not just facts that we're studying or a story that we're looking at, because it deals with me and my decisions and how I live. And I don't want like it just to be, oh, he's just preaching at us this morning. No, we're studying a truth of the Word of God. And if it brings conviction, that means something should change. Just be mindful of that this morning. Don't brush these things off. And also don't just feel super guilty because everything I do is impossible to please God. I'm always falling and failing. What we need to do is when we offend, confess, get up, and press forward to serve the Lord. And be mindful of those things. Don't just put it off and every 6 months I think about it and feel bad about what I just, how I've been living. And I'll try to live right for a week and then I'll just go back into it. And then a year later, and then your Christianity and your convictions just become a great weight on your shoulders that's crushing you until you finally one day just say, I'm done with that. No, address these things. Get them out of your life and you'll see the joy and happiness and peace that comes with it. That God can, He wants to bless and guide and lead and fellowship with you. And it's not about the rules, it's about the desire to please God. And that relationship with Him, when that comes first, then we gladly give up things, we gladly sacrifice things, and we lose the desire to even do some of those things. Because now the Holy Spirit is guiding us and we're walking with Him and we're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Romans 14, let's look at verses 13 and through 15. Romans 14, 13 through 15. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Charity is an amazing and important principle in the Christian life. And it's mentioned again and again and again. The necessity to live charitably, where others are first, where I sacrifice with nothing expected in return. These verses, well, let's finish. Look at verses number 15 and 16. Walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of. There's two ways to look at this discussion here. I give up something because it offends Brother Sutliff. If let's use maybe a simple one, but it's a discussion that happens in Christianity. Should I have a tattoo? I'm not waiting for an answer. Well, clearly no, because the Old Testament, people mark themselves. Well, do a deep study. There's a lot to that. It's not just that simple. And it's in the law, and there's a lot of things to consider there than just, well, there's at one time in Scripture it mentioned marking, therefore it's all evil. But at the same token, there's a culture that goes with that. If you go to a local tattoo parlor, what does it look like? Does it affect my ability to serve others? As much as it might hurt my job and my relationships, you know, Mike Tyson's got a famous face tattoo. If I got something right here, and I'm preaching to you, would that affect your ability to listen to what I'm saying? Well, then you have the problem, right? Well, maybe you do. Maybe you're judging me. Maybe you shouldn't look at me that way. Maybe you're putting your legalism on me. Or I can live charitably, and I live with the attitude of a servant and say, I'm just not going to do that because I know it will hurt other Christians. I know it limits what I can do for the Lord. And it's not about all of them need to get right. It's what can I do so that I can be the most useful servant to the Lord. Do I think I need a tie on to please God this morning? But I can wear a tie this morning. If it makes it easier for people to listen and be a pastor, and this is the uniform of a pastor, I can do that. What does a tie matter to me? It doesn't. But my desire to please the Lord and be His servant matters. So instead of looking at these verses and see, that's right, look, everything's lawful for me, why is everyone judging? There's just judgy hypocrites everywhere. No, that's, what can I do to live charitably, to live as a servant? What do I give up so not to offend my brother? Paul doesn't say to the person who's offended by the meat, Get over it, man. What's your problem? They can eat it. It's why are you still judging? No, he says to the person who knows. I have that freedom. You know it's a luxury then. You know it's a free thing that you can then do or not do. And if it offends, choose to not do. Where's the limit? Where's the line? When do I finally, I don't know, but I know what Christ told, how many times they were supposed to forgive. Just keep on going. So when do I finally stop and I can enjoy what I want and it's enough and I'm always compromising to make other people happy? There's not an end to that. That's what we're called to do. The opposite of that is selfishness, self-focus. That does not please the Lord. It's self-sacrifice that pleases God. And the last one here this morning, well, let's look at, since we're right here, 15, 1 and 2. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us place his neighbor for his good edification. It can't be said more clearly. If you want to follow the doctrine, the principles of God's word, the other people come first. It's written right there multiple times. F, would this cause an unsaved person to reject Jesus Christ? This is the one with some of the most severe consequences. Obviously, it's each person's decision whether or not they accept Christ. As we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, we'll finish up there this morning. Go with me, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Every one of us is going to stand before God and give an answer to the deeds that we have done. Every soul is responsible for accepting or rejecting Christ. You can say, well, it wasn't my fault, it's not my decision, but could I have done something to guide them? Did something I do offend them? Verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many. Look at the last part. Why? That they may be saved. There's a lot about keeping peace in the family of God and in the ministry of God, but greater than that, may my testimony, my actions, my decisions, my jokes, my whatever I do, my entertainment, that wouldn't cause someone to look at Christianity or at Jesus Christ and turn them away. Not because of conviction of sin, but because of hypocrisy. How many blame religion, atheists, or just people who don't care about it or don't believe anymore, and they can put it on the shoulders? I know. They have their own choice. They made their own decision. They are going to have to answer. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect Christian. We understand all that. But let's just double check our actions. Am I doing something? The last phrase here. In summary, we should often ask ourselves, is this thing acceptable to the Lord? Use this checklist, help it guide you. There's others out there that are a good help of how to make a decision or how to see if something is right for or wrong in the Lord's eyes. And they're based on these principles. Does it contradict the Word of God? Principle number one, clear, easy. If the Word of God explicitly states it, we know we follow, or we don't do the thing it says not to, and we do the things it says to because it's clearly written. Then there's principles that guide outside of that. Our relationships with others, our relationships within the church, our relationships with lost outside of the church. What effect does that action or that choice or that entertainment, whatever the thing is, affect me and my relationship with God? Does it lead me closer to the Lord or further from the Lord? And do I have peace about it? Whatsoever is not a faith is sin. To be fully persuaded, if there's doubt, just don't do that thing. What is so important that I would risk offending God for it? There's a lot of choices to be made. Constant stream of information, constant stream of choices. You'll make poor ones, I'll make poor ones. I'll choose flesh and I'll choose sin. But when I know I've done that, ooh, Lord, forgive me. I know that's a thing I have to deal with now. I need to make a decision so the next time it comes, I can stand for what is right. And I can use what you've taught me in my years walking with you, Lord, to help teach others. Make sure the decisions we have, young people look to older Christians to see why they do what they do. And sadly, a lot of things get thrown out just because, oh, that's just that generation. That's the way they live. They're just old fuddy-duddies, and that's just, they don't get it anymore. So let's make sure, though, as Christians, we can defend and explain, more explain than defend. That sounds like they're getting attacked. And teach why I do what I do. Why is that a standard in my life? According to the Bible. Not a verse taken out of context, not just a phrase that was thrown out, not because an old preacher once said, but because the Word of God says it. And this is what God has taught me. And if it's outside of clear verses, this is what God showed me. These are some examples in my life. This has been the fruit of those results. And I would advise you, as God has taught me, to do this. Versus, it's just what we do, the pastor said it, that's the rule. That's not teaching, that's commanding. That's good for young kids, but as they grow, they need to know why. Let's be prepared to teach the Word of God, right? Lord, we thank you for your Word. I thank you for your mercy towards us as we strive to please you and so often fall in our flesh. I pray that you would never cease to convict us. At least that's my prayer, Lord, for my heart, that I would reject it and just go 100% for you. I constantly fight against myself and the desires that I have and the just wanting fun and relaxation and easy. Lord, help me to think on you, think on eternity, think on the souls around me, and to make sure that my actions, first off, please you and don't cause others to stumble. If there's something that I do, Lord, teach me and help me to understand better what it means, or how to defend it, how to stand for it, and how to really put down self that you would be glorified. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your attention this morning. Remember to look at those verses in the end. Grab a couple, read through them. At least study them this week. Maybe you don't have it perfect, but you'll be more familiar with them. But I believe that each one of us could memorize at least one. If we have a whole week, we can do it, all right? So let's do that this week, all right? You are dismissed. Don't leave. We're having more church in a minute, but I don't know if Pastor finished yet. What's the choir singing this morning? I heard them practicing. To rescue a sinner like me.
God, Jesus, and the Bible.
Amen. Hey. Best answers. You head back this week, Janae?
I don't. I don't.
Oh, that's good. Blake said he's like leaving.